Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network, and Happy New Year to you all. We are so thankful that you're joining us tonight, and I have a feeling that no doubt some of you have done what many others have done as the new year approached. You made some resolutions. You have created an expectation for yourself that you hope to fulfill. You've got some expectations for the coming year. Isn't that true? Well, you know, thinking about that got me to thinking, what is God's expectation for His church in 2022? Have you ever stopped to consider what God's expectation for His church is? And since each local church is made up of individual people, it makes the question just a bit more personal. Friend, can I ask you, what is God's expectation for you? What is God's expectation for me? Well, I want to share with you tonight from Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. I'm going to begin in the 16th verse, and this is what the Lord has to say to us. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, on this New Year's Day, we are so very thankful for the amazing and sustaining power of God's wonderful, merciful grace. Father, we thank you for bringing us into a new year that is filled with life expectations, full of expectations, resolutions many people hope to keep. But Father, tonight, for the next few moments, we ask that you center our hearts upon your word, Lord, that we might discover what it is you would have your child to do in this coming new year. And we pray this tonight in Jesus' name, amen. This message is about expectations specifically. And it's specifically about God's expectation for His church. Whether you're a member here at Green Valley or some other church, you need to know that because God's church is made up of individuals, God has an expectation for each one of His children, no matter where they attend church. And so I want to begin talking, first of all, about what we can expect in the coming year. If you study history, and we go back 100 years to the year 1922, you'll discover some interesting facts. For example, on January 11th, 1922, insulin was first used on human beings to treat diabetes. Canadian Leonard Thompson was 14 years old, and he was the first human being to ever receive insulin. On February 21st, 1922, Britain declared Egypt a sovereign state. On March the 18th of that year, British magistrates in India sentenced Mahatma Gandhi to 6 years imprisonment for disobedience. On April the 3rd, Joseph Stalin was appointed General Secretary of the Russian Communist Party by an ailing Vladimir Lenin. On September 21st, U.S. President Warren G. Harding signed a joint resolution of approval to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. October 1st saw the first facsimile photo sent over the city telephone lines in Washington, D.C. On November the 17th, 1922, the last sultan of the Ottoman Empire, Muhammad IV, is expelled to Malta on a British warship. And on December the 29th, the creation of the USSR was formally proclaimed in Moscow from the Bolshoi Theater. In 1922, the Eskimo pie was patented by Christian K. Nelson of Iowa, and he was not an Eskimo. How many listening would agree with me on this statement? We never know what a year will bring. Thus, we could say what we just learned from the historical facts of 1922 in a multitude of ways, our world has never been the same. But then we could say the same every year. We don't know what 2022 will bring for any of us, but this we do know, it'll change history. You see, change is a part of life. But there is one thing that will never change, and that is this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the psalmist wrote, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." That's what we can expect in 2022. Our God does not change. Time, friends, like years, is filled with swift transitions, and it isn't fate. But faith, faith that determines how we handle the unfolding events of our lives. I hope your hopes are built on things eternal and not things temporal, that you're holding on to God's unchanging hand. Now remember, we're talking about expectations, specifically God's expectations for his church. Let's move from what we can expect to what we cannot expect. How many of you would agree that our lives are full of the unexpected? Yet know this, nothing takes God by surprise. He has everything under control because he possesses total knowledge. He knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows the future as well as the past of every single person in the whole wide world. He knows the future as well as the past of this church plus every other church. God knows it all. He knows who comprises the body of Christ today, the universal church around the world. God knows every one of his believers, or he has every hair upon their head numbered. Peter wrote his first epistle to teach believers that sometimes life is hard to swallow. We expect things to be a certain way. But quite often, things do not go as we expected. Life is absolutely full of unexpected twists that range from comical to tragical. As the gospel spread across the Roman Empire, many people were attracted to Jesus Christ and the good news of salvation. They realized for the first time that God loved them and gave his life for their sins. And tonight you may be listening, and for the very first time, you're beginning to understand that God created you, God loves you, and God gave his life for you. Many hearing this repented and placed their faith in Jesus Christ, expecting things to improve. And in some ways, of course, they did. Their hearts were transformed, and nothing gets better than that. But in other ways, their lives became much harder. They faced pushback from the world. They faced rejection from family and friends. They faced attacks from the devil. They faced persecution from the government. And like many believers today, the believers back then did not understand why their troubles seemed to be increasing. And so Peter wrote the following to explain how to manage the uncertainties of life. Let me share with you 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Do you see, in essence, what Peter is telling them is simply this: expect the unexpected. Let me share with you, when it comes to our personal lives and church lives, what I call the we can'ts for Christians. We cannot expect the Christian life to be easy. We can't expect to be immune from temptation. We can't expect to tackle life and church life successfully on our own. We can't expect to avoid suffering. We can't expect to avoid what Jesus Christ endured. We can't expect to live a carefree life. We can't expect to remain strong without a steady diet of the Holy Bible on a daily basis. We can't expect God's blessings outside of His will. We can't expect God to answer all of our prayers with a resounding yes. We can't expect God to do for us what God has commanded us to do. We can't expect others to do for us what only Jesus Christ can do. Now remember, we're talking about expectation. So let's move from what we can expect to what God's expectations for His church. In verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The word power means authority, the right to use power. Did you know that Matthew's entire gospel stresses the authority, the power of Jesus Christ? There is the authority of His teaching. Jesus exercised authority in His healing. Jesus exercised authority in forgiving sins. Jesus had authority over Satan and delegated that authority to His disciples. And here in the final chapter of Matthew's gospel, Matthew makes it clear that Jesus has all authority. Here's what that means for you as an individual, as a child of God, and for your church. We may obey Jesus Christ without fear, no matter where He leads us, no matter what circumstances we may face. We know this: God is in control. We don't need to fear. We remember Jesus' great words: "Fear not, for I am with you." We know Jesus cares for us, that He is in control. Listen to me, no matter what goes on in this world, never think that God is out of control. Friend, God is in control, and Jesus Christ is coming soon. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Therefore, no matter what we face in our personal lives or in our church lives, we can always be confident of this, that God has allowed it. As a matter of fact, nothing can come into the child of God's life that God does not allow. Everything must first pass through Him. You say, if all you say is true, and you know it is because we're preaching the Word of God, friend, by His death and by His resurrection, Jesus defeated all enemies and won for Himself all authority. And if all I say is true, and I know it is because it's right here in the Word of God, then you might be wondering, why is church attendance declining today? Well, there are several reasons, and I want to answer some of those for the reason for church decline today. And then I'm going to share God's answer to the problem with you. You see, the reason for the decline of the church is simply this: too many Christians and too many churches are not Bible strong. They're no longer Christ-centered. They have become man-centered. Thus, the church in the world today looks nothing like the church that is described in the Holy Scriptures. In most churches, the congregation pays a pastor to preach, win the lost, build up the saved, while the members function as cheerleaders if they're enthusiastic, or just plain old tired spectators if they're not. The converts are won, they're baptized, given the right hand of fellowship, and then, sadly, they join the other cheerleaders or spectators sitting in the pews. The reason for the decline, we're not Bible strong. And the church was never meant to be a spectator sport. The truth is we'll see in a moment, is that Christians and their churches have deviated from God's plan. For example, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The reason for the decline is that we as Christians in churches have forgotten that the Christian faith is a missionary faith. The very nature of God's demands this. You see, he said, "All power and authority is given in me. Go ye therefore." There is the demand. God demands it, for God is love. Why does God demand it? Because he is not willing for anyone to perish. If you're watching this program tonight, it is not by accident that you were on the air. You are either lost and in need of a Savior, or you are a Christian in need of revival. We are to go. We are to be active. We are to serve. Our Lord's death on the cross was for the whole world. And there's no doubt that in your family, as in my family, there are still those who are lost. You probably have friends that are lost. You may even have enemies that are lost. And while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We were once the enemies of the very God we claim. Therefore, we ought to be willing to go and love our enemies as Christ has loved us. Friends, if we are the children of God, if we share his nature, then we will want to be God's missionary and tell our lost world that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That's how the early church in the book of Acts was patterned. They operated on the basis of our Lord's sovereign authority. They ministered in the name of Jesus Christ. They depended on his power. They depended on his guidance. They did not face a lost world like the modern church attempts to do on the basis of man's authority. They stood on the authority of the Word of God. And so we have the reason for the decline of the church. But thankfully, we do not have to resign ourselves to such hopelessness. God's Word gives us the answer to our situation here in our text. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The Greek verb translated "go" is actually not a command, but a present participle, going. The only command in the entire Great Commission is make disciples, teach all nations. Therefore, what Jesus is saying is while you are going, make disciples of all nations. You see, Jesus expects his people to be going, not sitting on the sidelines. Not looking at church as being entertained, but as a place to come and serve. We're to serve, be it in the marketplace, shopping, be it work, be it in our to friends in our homes. No matter where we are out and about, we, just as we are on most days of the weeks, we are to be serving our Lord. We're always to be going in the name of Jesus Christ. Every day we meet people who need Jesus Christ. And if you don't know it yet, people need the Lord. And you are a conduit to bringing people to Jesus Christ. You have Christ in you. Now share the message of love with others. You see, the truth of the matter is, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're going, we ought to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Friends, none of us know how long we're going to be here upon this earth. And we ought to use every blessing, every gift that we've been given to win others to Christ. That's what missionaries do. They give their lives away in service. We live in a world today where most people who attend church want to be a Christian but not a disciple. And therefore, the church is in decline and cannot meet God's expectation for His church. The Bible is clear. God's command and God's expectation for His church is that every believer become a disciple, a person who believes on Jesus Christ and expresses that faith by being baptized. And that's where the Christian stops, because all they want to do is be identified with Jesus Christ. But a disciple not only wants to be identified with Jesus Christ, they want to go on and they want to grow in Jesus Christ. And so the disciple, unlike most Christians, they remain in the fellowship of believers so that they can be taught the great truths, grow in their faith, and be a better disciple, becoming grounded and equipped so that they can be prepared to go out and testify, win others, and teach them, because they know that's God's expectation for His church. And since the church is not the building, but the people, God is talking about you and me. In Acts 2:41, we read, "Then they gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Bible teaches it is only when the members of the church make the decision to become disciples can they ever expect God to add to the church. It is only when the church follows and obeys God's will that God can add to the church. So what is God saying to us? He's saying if we want the church to grow, then we've got to purpose in our heart in this new year that we will meet God's expectation for His church by becoming the disciples He has called us to be. As long as we have life and breath, we still need to keep growing in the faith, because there is no retirement verse in the Bible. Friends, we've got work to do. And we cannot expect God to bless us or bless the church if we will not rise up and meet His expectations. So in our world, when expectation isn't met, many people want to lower the standard, but God never lowers the standard. He always rises the bar, because God knows that with His strength, we can accomplish the task He has called us to. We can establish, we can strengthen, and we can settle others in the faith that is to be found in Jesus Christ. As we close, just let me tell you about the God I know. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. The power of His cross is available to overcome every obstacle, win every battle in His timing, comfort every sorrow of every heart, and redeem every problem we face. And when we make the choice to rise up and make the choice to get in line with His expectation, we can expect God to pour out His blessings upon us, because we see it in His promise. And lo, I am with you always. When we gather together to grow in Bible truth, and when we scatter into our world to witness, our God is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? It's time to rise up. It's time to obey God. It's time to follow God's pattern for His church in 2022. Should God see us to the end of 2022, will you and I be able to say at the end of this year that we were faithful to do what God asked us to do? As we close this message tonight, allow me to ask you a question. If God were to say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" how would you answer that question? Do you know? You may be listening tonight and say, "I have no idea how I would answer that question." Well, the good news for you is that you don't have to remain unknowing. You see, Jesus Christ stands ready to receive you and to save you tonight, but you have to be willing to repent of your sin. What does that mean? It means you turn away from your sin and you turn to Jesus Christ by faith. You put your faith and your trust in Him. And if you'll do that tonight, Jesus Christ promises to save you. He paid the penalty for your sin, so you don't have to. All you need to do is take Him into your heart by faith. And if you're willing to do that tonight, you simply bow your head and pray after me. Lord Jesus, I now transfer my trust from myself and the things in which I have been trusting, and I place my trust entirely in You. Forgive me for all of my sins. I repent and turn away from my sins and will follow You. Lord, I now receive Your gift of eternal life. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight, you contact us here at the church. The ways to contact us are on the screen right now. You write us and you let us know of the decisions that you have made. And Father, we just thank You as we begin the year 2022. May Your grace and light shine upon us both now and forevermore. Amen.